Hello, Sammy.
What? No, it's Roger.
No, I'm joking.
Welcome to the Wait, What If podcast. I'm going to start singing my podcast from now on. What do you guys think?
I could drop a beat for you.
It's a...
Yeah,
use the
cool jazzy one.
It's gonna be a shit show. So, yeah, it's gonna be a shit show. Do you know why? Because, so, Savannah, today's topic can still be Bitcoin. Savannah went out on assignment. I'm getting kind of like a weird hum. What is that?
It's Roger.
That's right. Roger. Stop.
Roger.
Roger's trying to hump Mike. Bad boy.
He's a rabbit.
So Savannah went and interviewed a man named Jameson Lopp and about Bitcoin. He's like a Bitcoin guru or whatever. And she sent the recording to me. I chopped it up, got all the questions together, and... took the folder, and it had quotes on it, so I knew that was the file. And then I had another file apparently on my podcast area that also had quotes, so I downloaded them on here, and it was the same ones we used last week.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go,
remember when we used these last week or last time we podcasted with
no. But I believe you.
You remember that?
I wasn't invited to the last one, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, I have the wrong file, so I don't have any of Jameson's interview.
Oh, shit.
I know. So, but that's okay, because what we'll do is we'll just do the Bitcoin.
Okay.
Because, I mean, technically you can do one ever, right? Because the people don't know. The listeners, they're dumb as shit. They don't know. What? Just kidding. But you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, obviously they're listening to you. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you know, yeah, so that was the big reveal. I totally screwed up. And when I went down to check them out, I hit my quotes and I'm getting stuff.
What is this?
Centerboard ants!
These are not Jameson Lopp, from what I can tell.
Let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
How pissed are you?
I'm not pissed at all.
Oh, really?
But I do feel like at some point I'm going to have to explain this to Jameson
if
I see him in public.
Well, was it? Never mind.
Why don't you just edit it in later and then not even talk to people about this? But
well,
I don't understand. Just ask the question.
That would be a good
edit
point.
Edit me out for saying that, too.
That would be a good way to do it, but it just won't work because I have... She's got the questions. Didn't I send you an email? Send you an email with how it was broken down with all the questions, and maybe I didn't even send you that. I suck. And this is the third time.
No, but I have a feeling. I mean, this was out on the limb idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have a feeling. I mean, even as I was doing it, I was like, "This might suck." Like,
no, I think it'll work.
This episode might suck.
I think it'll work. Okay. I think we can make it work.
That's what I meant. It might really be awesome.
Do you know what else works really well?
Audible.
No. No, I kind of bailed on Audible. I don't really enjoy. We won't talk about that. No, what works really well is Alpha Brain. Have you taken Alpha Brain?
So you obviously didn't take it whenever you were doing those audio clips.
No. This is while I was at work. Remember, when I'm doing my podcast, that's when I'm actually on. When I'm at work, that's when I'm not on, I guess. I don't know. Totally sucks, but... Yeah, so on it. Waitwhatif.com/on it. What I'm going to get this year for my Father's Day gift. Have you ever seen, Mike, you like lifting weights and stuff like that. Have you ever seen steel maces?
Yes.
Have you ever worked out with them or anything like that?
No.
So it's, I think I talked about it before, it's like a metal rod with basically a cannonball at the end of it.
Yeah, you swing one of those around or swing a giant sledgehammer.
Yeah,
around.
Sledgehammer.
It's kind of the same.
I looked at that because it's a little cheaper, but yeah. I was on YouTube and I was YouTubing like workout, like things like that. And people are saying, it's not a good idea because if it spins around, it's not uniform. So if you're doing something, you can clip yourself as it's coming by if you're used to a nice round uniform thing. But I thought about getting a sledgehammer.
Yeah, hit yourself in the back of the head with a hammer.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. So I'm going to get that. And, of course, we're outside, so you're going to hear a lot.
Red Rocket.
Awkward.
He's just...
Awkward.
Can't help himself.
So Roger is...
Dog.
Because I'm the M8. I'm a 12-year-old. I'm sorry.
It's Savannah's dog.
No, I mean, I've had friends do the same thing. They're like, what's
Red Rocket,
that?
Red Rocket.
Who's getting... We used to say lipstick. The lipstick container.
I only because of South Park.
No, not because of the lips. I mean, what? Gross. No, like, what? It looks like, you know, you turn the lipstick
That's
thing...
That's right. Equal opportunity.
God, why does it suck?
Equal bobber. What?
So, Onnit has maces, and I'm going to get them for Father's Day. They also
are you gonna
have
swing it around, or are you going to hit something with it?
Like I don't know. I'm going to swing it around because I've been in my I went from
warrior phase.
Yeah, I went from heavy phase. Lifting and stuff to now I'm going to joint flexibility because my joints are so tight, it's ridiculous. Like I can't. I did an evaluation through my guys over at GMB Fitness, who they're going to be on maybe next week. I'm going to do their show. What is that? I'm getting a lot of, like, tap your thing against here. I'm going to edit this out, but do you hear that?
No.
I hear that.
Who?
Say something.
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 Well, now it stops.
It's all in your head, man.
Okay, whatever. Make sure I remember to edit that out. So, my joints are just so stiff, and I'm working on getting back into flexibility and stuff. And the mace looks like something's good that can... Because I can't even, like that's about as much range I have on my shoulders. I want to be able to pull it back. Like, I've been working on bridges.
Just yoga.
Well, it's kind of like yoga, what I've been doing. But I've been doing bridges and stuff, and even with bridges, I can get off the ground, but I can't fully extend. I'm kind of like this because I just can't get the flexibility back there. So we'll see what's going on. But the steel mace may help with that. They also have check out, even if you don't buy anything, they're pretty cool. Check out the primate bells. Primal bells. They're kettlebells.
I saw those.
Yeah, they look like monkeys and gorillas. And then they have the
extreme kettlebells, man.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet. They have the legend bells, which are like the wolf man and stuff like that, and zombie bells. Plus, they actually do have really, really good supplements. The thing I like about their supplements is that the science is there, and you can click on it and look at the different studies that they've done. So
I've used the Shroom Tech and the Alpha Brain, and I would buy the Shroom Tech again. The Alpha Brain, I mean, I don't pay attention enough to really notice the difference.
I guess
the
if
Shroom
it worked,
Tech,
it would
I've
be
noticed.
Pain. Oh, really?
Like I feel better.
Which,
like healthier.
Which Shroom Tech is it? There's a couple, aren't there?
I get both of them. I've gotten the Sport and the immune support.
What is it? Is it a multivitamin?
It's called Shroom Tech because I don't have the link here. But if you go on Shroom Tech is – so basically it's I don't even know. They have one that is for muscles and one for – but yeah, it's based on mushrooms.
Do you know what it is, Savannah?
It's a blend of different types of mushrooms. But then they also have the immune support that has like turmeric and things that are it's interesting. I mean I notice the difference. I mean, most of my supplements, I try a lot of supplements, and most of them I kind of, maybe.
Yeah.
But Shroom Tech, I actually kind of think, this is making me feel better.
That's good. All right, so check out Shroom Tech. Waitwithif.com/onnit for your 10% discount on all products. Take it away.
You're listening to the Wait What If podcast.
We're about to blow stuff up.
Say we were to walk out in the middle of the woods and find a 50-year-old moonshine bottle.
I think you could drink it.
I think I would drink it.
You know, his mom was probably really controlling and he wet the bed as a kid.
Reminds me of a strip club, actually.
Does it really?
Yeah, this is the champagne.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you put the money. Little.
I'm just going to eat this bacon and drink this whiskey.
Be prepared to expand your mind and question your reality. As always, your host, Kevin Sullivan.
And we're live. All right. right. So you can just pretty much disregard everything I said at the beginning of this show. It's a shit show. We were going to talk about Bitcoin and the and we're outside, so you can hear airplanes buzzing us right now. And hopefully you'll be able to hear some crickets and stuff. I like the ambiance. You guys like what I did? I put those lights up here. Kind of made this more of a relaxed atmosphere. Yeah. Every single night, what I do, every single night, no joke, I come out here and I sit where Mike is sitting right there. I put my feet up and I just write. I've got like 10 articles that I'm working on for the website. Yeah, it's just so relaxing.
I need to follow your lead. I keep thinking that I'm going to make a website and start writing articles about biohacking and stuff.
You should do it. It's really easy. The only, I was talking to John Taylor the last episode. I was texting him and I was like, dude, writing sucks. Like, podcast, pick up a microphone and just yabber as much as you want, right? Because once you say it, it's done. You can't change it. I mean, you can edit, but I mean, it's still, it's there. With writing, you like work on a sentence and then you're like, I don't know. And then you rework it and rework it. And then you're like, hey, this is perfect. And then you come back a day later and you're like, what is this shit? And you start rewrite it again. And it's like, you can't, if you like perfection or you think you're going to find perfection, you can't find it. And it's such a longer process. Mm-hmm. And he was like, dude, that's just called the writing process. That's just what it is. Have you ever written? Do you write anything?
No.
No.
But I'm very interested in it.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would write about.
Yeah, but. Booze. You got plenty of knowledge on the booze.
That's what I was going to do, but I'm gonna wait until I have some credibility.
Yeah.
Which is just be successful with my bar.
Yeah, you got a lot to focus on right now.
I have
now
a road that I'm trying to get down, and at the end of the day, it's going to turn into, hopefully it'll turn into consulting, and then there'll be a book.
Okay.
And there'll be some cocktail recipe books, and there'll be some other history books and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right.
I hear that, what you're talking about now.
Oh, yeah, that sort of gong, sort of boom.
Yeah, I think it's because I'm too close to the microphone.
No, that's good. You're always far away.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't care. I have this new thing that I go through. Did you ever use noise reduction on Audacity? It takes out all the little whines and whatever. It's really good.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So today's episode is going to be on Bitcoin, which is really fascinating on a couple levels. Most people don't know about it, or they've heard about it, and they're like, I don't have an interest, because it's kind of, I mean, what do? It's, you got to put faith into internet money. But, while I was researching it, I found out that only 8% of money in the world right now is physical money. 8%, that means 92% of the money out there is just ones and zeros in someone's bank account.
But,
isn't that crazy to think about?
Yeah, I think.
So it's all virtual money.
Yeah, that may be true. The difference is there are countries that back money.
Yeah.
There's nothing that really backs, well, at least, I don't know, Savannah probably knows more than me because she did the interview, but from what I understand, Bitcoin is just an algorithm.
Yeah.
There's really no, who backs
it? Well, it's fake.
There's no country that, like, America backs the dollar. Yeah. So it's the strength of the American economy makes the dollar strong.
Right.
What makes the Bitcoin strong is some algorithm.
No, actually, I think what makes it strong is the fact that other people are willing to use it. So, yeah, and now we know, because it's been around since 2009.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it's the what it's right. It's kind of like what makes the value of a diamond strong is it's people willing to buy or spend money in the diamond. So it's all the value of something is what we're willing to spend. We're willing to spend for that thing. So because people are willing to spend money. Trade money for bitcoins, that's why Bitcoin is strong. If you take away people's ability or the desire to purchase Bitcoin, then the value will drop.
Well, that's why it's volatile.
Because if it's people are like, it's higher now than it was before, let's sell. It's kind of a crazy market.
Have you ever seen how they do it? Right on Wall Street, there's a little Bitcoin headquarters.
Is it really?
Yeah, there's
it's publicly traded?
Yeah. Well, no, it's traded as any other currency would be traded. So,
I didn't know that.
But it's old school. There's some guy standing up on a platform, and they're like, let's sell some Bitcoin. And then you go up, and you're like, I want to buy 40 Bitcoin. And so then he starts yelling out, 40 Bitcoin. He's got 40 Bitcoin. He's going for $621, 40 Bitcoin.
Really?
And then someone would be like, I'll sell. And then you go and you swap. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is you can get like a virtual wallet, a Bitcoin wallet. Do you have one?
Do you mind that Roger's sitting on this pillow?
No, I don't care. So,
he looks so cute.
But Bitcoin, so let's go back then and talk. So Bitcoin, you have a virtual wallet. And a Bitcoin itself, all right, it's it is an independent thing, right? It's like the, if you have one Bitcoin, that Bitcoin is, it's got a serial number, right? Or, you know, in theory, it's
a complete unique
Bitcoin that if you lose it, it's just like losing a dollar. Someone else can pick it up. Or if you burn it, I don't know, if something happens to it, your phone gets destroyed, you can't recover it.
Yeah, if you're saving it on your computer and it's on, I think they call them a hard wallet. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But some people can save their Bitcoins on their computer and it's only there. You can't access them anywhere else.
Yeah.
And one guy actually, he bought, I think before, like in 2009, he bought a bunch of Bitcoins just for the hell of it. They were probably worth less than a penny each. So he had, I think he had millions of dollars worth of Bitcoins. He forgot about it. And then he took the computer to the dumpster and could never find it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because once you lose them, they're gone.
Yeah, that's basically
crazy. It's crazy that you can actually lose digital currency.
I know.
Isn't that
weird?
What's blowing my mind. I get it if it's only stored on your hard drive, but what about the cloud? Can you store it on the cloud?
I think so.
Sure,
I
that's
mean,
what the wallets do.
Yeah, shoot, that's right. It's a wallet thing.
Because your Bitcoin wallet, if you have two phones, or maybe you can, I don't know. I'm just going on a limb there.
It would work like your checking account then, huh? It seems to me this is a good way for drug dealers not to, you know, get their money, like to do business and not have to deal with dirty bills.
Well, that's exactly what the Silk Road was.
Yeah, and that's, I want to get into that in a second. But let's go back to the wallet. So to have a Bitcoin, it's technically like a physical thing that you have. I mean, it's, and the currency is just like having a wallet full of change or whatever, dollar bills or whatever in there. When it first came out, from what I understand, there is a finite, and this is what gives it a little bit of value, there's a finite amount of Bitcoin. There's only so many of them, and there's never going to be another one after that. Like, they've only, boom, this, I mean, I guess they could, like any other economy, go out and technically print money, I mean, but they wouldn't print it there, they'd just create one. So in order to give it value, you had to have a rig, a mining rig, they called it, and it would be a computer that you set up to run a equation.
Yeah, whatever mining algorithm, I guess.
Yeah, and when your computer figured out the equation, it would mine a small amount of Bitcoin, like, I don't know, 0.00025. And the idea behind it was, you know, at first it was worth it because you could sit there and you have to have a powerful enough computer to just set it up and it would mine Bitcoin all day. Some people, like, they turn their garages into mining rigs, they call them. There's just racks and racks of whatever those things are called, computer stuff.
Mining farm, I think.
Is that, yeah.
It's kind of like the gold rush when everyone was running.
Well, that's
California,
what it was like. Because what you had to look at is the value of the Bitcoin that you were mining versus the power that you're generating.
And the cost of all
the energy
costs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just buying the stuff, the computer hardware.
So they say nowadays it's not worth it. Like, you, I mean, I guess you could do it for fun, but you're going to spend more money mining it than you are going to get out of it. So, unless, I guess, you expected it to go up again, but I don't think it's going to be as volatile as it's been. I think once it gets to a certain, I mean, why would it be volatile?
At this point, I mean, people will make announcements. I think there's some guy, I can't remember his name, some big wig in the Bitcoin industry recently who said, "Oh, Bitcoin is dead." And he decided he was just going to get rid of all of his Bitcoins, and he announced it publicly. And there was a little bit of a drop then, but really it was pretty minor compared to the drops that we've seen. Like, so Bitcoin, I think maybe, I can't remember what year it was, a couple of years ago, it was at least around $1,300 a coin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
and
was
then,
up there.
I don't know if you guys heard about Mt. Gox.
Mt. Gox?
So Mt. Gox, I think, was a mining an exchange, I think. And I think a lot of people were keeping their Bitcoins there. I'm still fairly ignorant about this. But a lot of people were keeping their Bitcoins there. And it was completely hacked. I mean, millions and millions of dollars were stolen.
Wow.
And those people had no, there was no way for them to recoup their cost. So that is one, people would call that an advantage to having your money in dollars as opposed to Bitcoins, because if your bank gets heisted, then you've got the U.S. government backing you up.
And it's like a bearer bond, right? Or a dollar. I mean, I guess you could say that. If you have it, you have it. There's no real tracing it. So if I have your Bitcoin, it's mine. I mean, what are you going to say? That's my Bitcoin? Says who, right? This is my dollar. It's not yours. You know, how do you, you could say, well, I had the serial number. It doesn't matter.
No, I think actually if you could, I'm not sure actually how that works.
I thought it was if Bitcoin's a Bitcoin, and if you lose them, someone steals them. I mean, I guess if you could prove that they stole them, yeah.
Which I would imagine that you could from Mt. Gox, because it seems to me. So here's where I'm still very ignorant. But I thought that the ledger sort of tracking Bitcoins was sort of publicly available, so you could just see where they went.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Well, I thought that wouldn't be the case, to go back to what Mike was saying now, is one of the big advantages of Bitcoin is you get rid of the middleman, which is Uncle Sam. So if I wanted to buy, let's say,
a house.
Yeah, or let's say you gave me $50,000 worth of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Uncle Sam is going to know that because it's got to go somewhere. It's got to go to a bank. Unless you come in with cold hard cash, no one's going to do that. So I'm going to have to pay taxes. People are going to know about it. Bitcoin, who knows about it?
Actually, they do. So the services that are sort of commonly used amongst people who are idiots like myself, who mm-hmm. don't know how to find Bitcoins just sort of out in the wild, so to speak.
Yeah.
So there's, I don't know all the different types of banks that you can buy Bitcoin from, but like one of them is Coinbase. Mm-hmm. So let's say you buy your Bitcoins from Coinbase. Well, then your Coinbase is sort of, they're U.S. based and they want to be on friendly terms with the U.S. government.
So legitimized.
Yeah. If you started making illegal purchases with your coins that you have from Coinbase, they're going to tell on you. I mean, they're not going to allow that, right? However, you can buy, there are ways to buy Bitcoins outside of Coinbase, outside of those sort of more legitimate means.
Between two people.
I think so, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you could send off a payment for whatever crystal meth.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what they do, and that's where it came from. So now the Silk Road, which the Silk Road is the dark web. You know what the dark web is?
I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it.
So the surface web is you go on and you go to Yahoo or Gmail, whatever cool one people use. And you go, that's the surface web. You check your bank, you do this, that. There's some people that they will not go to the surface because it's just wide open for people to hack you and to watch what you're doing and whatever. So the dark web is below the surface, obviously, and you go through it's called a Tor browser. And I believe I'm going to totally screw this up, but it's instead of anything being .com, it's .onion. And I think the whole idea there was peel back the layers or something like that. And it was originally designed for, I think, the Navy intelligence, so they could talk to each other without being on the surface because it's completely anonymous. Well, if you go into the dark web, that's where you find things like the Silk Road. And I have a Tor browser. I think it's on here. It's pretty creepy to get on it. So you go on to these, you go through the Tor browser, you get in the dark web, and you go to like a torrent site. And it's, is everything okay?
I'm going to make sure he doesn't have to pee.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Roger's got to pee. Roger drank a little too much.
Sorry. Do you need me to move? I don't know what's going on.
So you can get to, you go down into the dark web, and you can go on there, and there's people like, there's Hitman on there, there's like anything. You want to buy a Kalashnikov fully automatic, you can buy one on the dark web. I mean, you don't know who you're dealing with because everyone's anonymous.
Right on.
Yeah, so then I can go there with my anonymous Bitcoin
and
be like, yeah, I'll take 500 grenades, and then we make a deal, and then I send you my Bitcoin, and then you disappear into the...
Yeah, as long as you're not... I mean, I feel like that's probably also being watched. I don't know, man. I mean, if you know about the dark web, then... So
well, I know
FBI
about it, but I would... It's very... I mean, yeah, they have caught on to it to a certain degree, but it's so anonymous, there's no way to trace it, and that's the deal.
Huh.
The dark web is like... Instead of there being like a Google or a Yahoo or a Bing or any of these, I guess those are servers, right, or whatever it is. Instead of going through Google to web pages, you're not going through anyone. You're going through various – everyone – that's what it is. Like if you're willing to be in the Tor, in the dark web, all these people, their computers are basically acting as that. So you're bouncing through the web through everyone else's hard drive. So if you try to trace it, like if I'm here buying crack – via the dark web and you trace it, it goes to like, it says I'm in Scandinavia, and then 10 minutes later says I'm in Sri Lanka or something. It's because there's no way to follow it because you're in such a, I don't know, it's kind of cool. Do you know anything about the dark web? Silk Road. Well, they did end up shutting it down. There was some guy who developed the Silk Road, and they found out who it was, and they arrested him.
Yeah, I mean, imagine sort at of. Some point you're going to figure it out.
I think they were able to find out who he was by some sort of, well, alleged illegal search. So they somehow found the server that the Silk Road was using. I think it was like in Switzerland or something mm-hmm. like that. And they were... It was extremely questionable as to how the U.S. government found it.
Yeah.
Like, to the point... I mean, the U.S. government says that they had a story, but anybody who understands, I guess, computer science was like, that's complete bull. That is not right. how you figured it out.
So they think it was, like, some sort of surveillance or whatever.
NSA kind of related, I would imagine.
Yeah. So, yeah, so they managed to... And it's not the Wild West. It was the Wild West probably... 10 years ago, maybe even less, but now it's not the way it used to be. But still, some people just don't want to. They want to be off the grid. So that's the seedy underworld. That's what everyone likes to know about. Everyone's like, oh, you can go in there and buy crack and guns and stuff. But that's a small percentage of it. A lot of people just don't like to be on the surface. They don't like their life being out there. So they go into there with their Bitcoin and they can just live technically on the grid, but off the grid. So that's that.
Interesting.
Would you take Bitcoin at your business?
No.
Yeah. There's some places...
That's what he says now.
That's what he says now, yeah.
Unless something changes and it's this common currency, but I'd say no.
I don't think I would.
Common, it's not common. And I don't really trust it. There's nothing backing it, except for people willing to spend... That's like if someone walked in and said, hey, man, I got this. I got a 0.99 silver... plate. It's worth however much money.
Yeah.
Silver. You know when those weird doomsday preppers, they saw everyone start buying like silver and gold, and that's what they were going. Yeah. If someone walks in with like a gold bar and was like, bottle of whiskey, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man.
I take it.
Wow. Yeah, maybe.
Well, I get your point.
I don't know how to determine whether that gold bar is real or not, but it's like, what are you going to do?
In the movies, they bite it.
Like, I got a Bitcoin. I'm like, what do I do with it? Like, I don't even know how to take it from you.
Some people up in New York, there's a lot of places that actually take it.
There are a lot of clubs. I've actually read articles. There's a lot of bars and clubs, especially like strip club type stuff that take Bitcoin now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Me? No. Here in Clayton? No.
I don't know. If I was doing, like, if I had internet commerce, if I had this, like, on my website, if I was selling t-shirts, I probably would. I'd do PayPal, and I'd probably have a Bitcoin option. Because it's not, I mean, you're not going to lose too much. In a bar, you'd have a lot to lose, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd have to learn a bit more. I'd have to educate myself a bit more on Bitcoin and how it all works. But right now, without knowing anything, obviously no.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Well, at the end of this podcast.
That's right.
At the end of this podcast, which actually isn't supposed to even be about Bitcoin, but we just went onto it.
I think it's cool. I think it's fascinating. I admit they're not the first digital currency. I don't know if they'll ever be the last, but there's been others that have tried to make it work and just never caught on. And I guess these guys, I don't know, cracked the code.
I think Bitcoin was the first currency.
Is it?
Maybe. Well, no. I'm not saying it's the first, but I thought that it was the first one to solve the quote unquote.
That's what it was.
Double spend problem, so that
crack the code.
Yeah, I mean, you really cannot if you get a coin or you transfer a coin. You can't just do that twice. So you can't all of a sudden, like, I guess, copy a Bitcoin and make it into two or three. Right. Or
yeah, and that's the part I don't understand because it just would. It seems like it would be easy just to make copies of your Bitcoin, mm-hmm. but I guess it isn't. I mean, I guess it's not easy, but that's for the smart people to understand.
I feel like if people can hack into anything, then I figure someone is going to hack the Bitcoin and figure out a way to make that happen.
So I think the reason that hasn't happened since 2009. So I mean, honestly, if it hasn't happened since then, it probably isn't going to happen. And
I wouldn't say that. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't ever happen.
Okay. I mean, yes. Well, so here's part of my rationale. But I think that every time a Bitcoin is mined, I think that. The way that it works is that you have a ledger, I think the ledger is pretty much the best word to use. And that ledger gets sort of copied and verified across all computers that are part of the network that are sort of engaged in this Bitcoin transaction.
And so the more Bitcoins get mined, the more records you have, or the more, I guess, the more that ledger gets verified. So that, I mean, at this point, it's, I mean, I don't know how many millions of Bitcoins are out there, but that's a lot of sort of verifications from across many, many computer systems that are mining Bitcoin and that are engaged in these transactions. That's sort of as far as my understanding goes.
I guess that would make it the most complicated thing on there is then.
Maybe like, it had to be that complicated to ensure that you didn't run into that double spend problem.
Unhackable.
I mean, I sincerely like think that, yeah.
He's unhackable. I just started live.
Well, he's 25 May 2016. It's unhackable. Who knows what happens tomorrow?
Yeah.
I don't know. If that's the most complicated, what do you call it, algorithm, program in the entire world? That just seems like, I don't know. Do you think so?
It's not complicated. It's just, well, okay, it's probably complicated. But I think it's just simply a logical problem that they were able to solve. Uh-huh. That once you solve it, there's no getting around that solution. So, I mean, a lot of people who are into Bitcoin will be like, it's math. I mean, you just can't, you can't get around it. It's there. I mean, 1 + 1 = 2, and then you're done.
I don't know.
If that probably wasn't the best explanation.
I don't know. I don't know. Oh man!
So Bitcoin.
I'm the worst person to be explaining. Yeah.
Well, this
no,
is.
No, I get it. I get it. I totally understand. I totally get what you're saying. I just don't know. I understand what you're saying, though. Well, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I just don't.
I smell what you're stepping in.
Yes. I'm just not entirely sure. I'm just not entirely sure.
So.
That's all I got. I have nothing else to say. I'm sorry.
My friend summited Everest on Monday.
What?
I've got a friend of mine summited Everest on Monday.
Oh, he's the first. I read the story. The guy with the
Chad Jukes. He's got one leg.
One leg. Yeah. Disabled veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. First one ever. Yeah.
Is he first one with one leg, or first disabled veteran with one leg?
I don't know. First something. Maybe disabled veteran with one leg, I guess.
Yeah,
he's the one. I didn't read that story, though. I didn't know you knew him.
Yeah, we rode cross country together.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, so he's always been like an ice climber and things like that, and he
I like it when you turn your phone around.
What's going on? Oh, you want to do?
He's trying to help you out, man.
I'm trying to Periscope, and we just had like 10 people on, and then it just went like this. So now we got a whopping zero.
That's because the dog isn't in it.
Is that why?
Right. Put the dog.
You know what we can do? Dog. Can we set that up and then we'll just do some whatever? Yeah. So I thought that was cool. It's crazy. Him, they had
incredible.
It's the first time people have been going up it since 2012 or 2014 because they
like drunkenness.
They had like
drinking. What?
She was filming you drinking.
I drink a lot, man.
So they
sorry.
They lost like I don't know like. It's an ungodly amount of people in 1 year. Two big avalanches. So no one was climbing it for the last 2 years. And then this year, they finally had people climbing. The dog wants some of your whiskey.
They always do.
So they had, they finally had these. And they've already had 4 people die.
Yeah, I saw that a bunch of people died.
Do you see one of the people that died was a vegan? Which doesn't
are we getting back to our on it recommendation?
Yeah. She would be doing a lot better if she had taken her shroom tech.
That's right.
She was like one of those, like, you know, those vegans that are like, nam, 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 meat's murder, blah, blah, blah. Life is great as a vegan. And anyone who eats anything but vegan is and just went off on this. And then she's like, look it, we can do everything that meat eaters can do. We can climb Mount Everest. Dead.
I mean, that's.
Dude, that's harsh.
I don't know if that has anything to do with her being a vegan.
I think it has everything to do with her being a vegan.
It could just be because she's an experienced climber.
That could be it, too. She died of altitude sickness.
I feel like...
I mean, it's terrible. I'm not... But still...
Yeah, that is actually pretty terrible. And
I know, she died, and you're like hating on her for being a vegan.
No. Well, I mean, yeah, she's dead, and that's a tragedy, but I can still dislike her stance on...
Of course you can, man. You can say anything you want. It's a... Free world.
It was not anymore.
I mean, it's too. You still can do whatever you want. There's consequences and repercussions, but you can still do whatever you want.
Yeah, I think it's freedom. Our freedoms are slowly being stripped away, though. I think you can. It's like this. It's almost like Orwellian. It's almost like 1984. You can't really say what you want to say. Political correctness has kind of gone through and
without any sort of consequence.
Yeah, I mean, look at.
I mean, you can say whatever and do what. Just be prepared for the consequences of saying those things.
Look on. Look at any comic. They can't go to like college campuses anymore because people will protest them.
It's college though. Those kids are. I mean, come
mess.
On.
They're all a mess.
Yeah, they really are a mess. They're a bunch of.
They're embarrassing. Yes, I was embarrassing when I was in college too. So,
were you? What were you like? Were you writing poems and? did you have one of these earrings up here?
I was weird. I was definitely. I was basically me right now, but like less mature. But okay. I embarrassed myself a shit ton.
Oh yeah, I mean, people don't realize when you're like 18 to 20, you're still pretty much an adolescent.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like it seems like. No, it doesn't seem like it. Just because you have a two, just because you're two decades. When you're 20, right, if you go, 8 years ago when you were 20, you were freaking probably still playing with toys. 8 years ago when you're 30, you were still an adult. You know what I mean? Like as you get older, a 20-year-old, they have the features of an adult. They just have none of the experience or the – and their emotions are still kind of wacky because it's still in that – their brains haven't really solidified. You know what I mean? They're still very vulnerable to mood swings and whatever. Yeah, 20-year-olds piss me off. And there goes my 20-year-old thing there. All right. So here, let's take a break. Check this out.
Spay, do something intelligent.
We'll be right back.
That is, it's called Bangarang Hook Remix by, go ahead, guys. You can talk. I'm just giving a plug for this guy. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the listeners.
Yeah, my headphones are on now, so just go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, that's Bangarang Hook Remix by this guy named Pogo, P-O-G-O. You can go to youtube.com/Pogo. I think he's got a website too, but I can't remember. I'll link to it on my Facebook page. But on my website, waitwhatif.com. But yeah, he's got a lot of cool stuff. He takes there's one for Willy Wonka. He's got hundreds of these things, and they're just kind of trippy. I thought they were neat.
Cool. We should take some ayahuasca and listen to some Pogo.
So, but during the break there, Mike and Savannah were talking about who's backing up Bitcoin. Like, where does it hold its value? Right, Mike?
I don't remember what I was saying. We were in the middle of a conversation. Now I completely lost.
Yeah, you guys are like.
We're talking the value of Bitcoin, and I think I said something like, "Well, the true value of Bitcoin is just what people are willing to spend on it."
Right.
Which means there's really, if people are no longer interested in Bitcoin, then the value will drop because people aren't willing to spend.
People aren't buying it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're selling it. No one's buying it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So it's an interesting process. So it's kind of like precious gems or minerals, like diamonds or anything for that matter. They're kind of valuable because they're rare, but at the same time, just because they're rare doesn't mean they're valuable. It's just a matter of what people are willing to spend on it.
From what I heard about diamonds, is they're not as rare as we think they are. I mean, you can build them in a lab.
No, they're not that rare.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of the large diamond company, like De Beers,
they hold on to them, right?
They store it in a vault. So it's kind of like oil in OPEC. They have all this oil, but they start closing down the pipes to let less of it out so they can control the
so they can
valuation
like flood the market with it and have it go worthless. Yeah,
drive it up or drive it down, and it's the same thing with the diamond market.
Yeah, there's this cool YouTube video. It talks about how did we get duped into buying diamonds for
freaking De Beers in the 1930s or something, 20s and 30s.
It wasn't like a normal thing. You never really bought diamonds for people.
No, it all started with A Diamond Is Forever, I think was the advertising campaign that really kicked it off. And then it was the campaign showing your love, proving your love to someone with 3 months' salary or some silly shit like that. So yeah, it's like Valentine's Day. It's all just made up. Yeah. Sell Hallmark gift cards.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, so, it's terrible.
What's cool? They have diamonds, so they're like, "Hey, we have these diamonds. We got a shit ton of them. Yeah, let's make them rare,
cut glass.
Yeah, put them on drill tips.
I hate all of it.
Now that in hindsight, again, when you're in your 20s, you don't think. So when I proposed to my wife about her diamond, of course. Mm-hmm. But now that we know about them and we're smarter, we would never do that because
I don't spend money on that sort of stuff.
Yeah, not anymore. But I mean
when I was young and stupid, I did. But yeah, I started learning a little. I'm still pretty stupid, but I'm not as young. But I still, at the same time,
it's just a rock. It's just a
It's just a metal. It doesn't mean anything.
Dumb. Yeah. Aren't we weird? We're primates.
Well, if it's synthetic, then it costs nothing. I would totally do that for.
Yeah, if it's not a blood diamond.
Yeah, and then
Sierra Leone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's horrible.
Yeah, that is.
They
horrible.
Hack people's arms off for stealing them and whatever. Yeah, and who knows, the one that we have. I saw the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio with a really bad English accent. Didn't he have one in that movie?
I've never seen it.
Might have been a South African accent.
Is that what it is?
Maybe that's what he's doing.
I don't remember.
That's why it sounded so terrible.
It's
actually quite accurate.
South African accents are horrible. Sorry, South African people.
They're getting their English accents wrong.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah. No, it's like an English accent mixed with a Dutch accent, German accent, and it's like you listen to it.
I worked with
a
guy from South Africa.
Didn't you just want to throw rocks at him all day long?
Part of the British Army. Yeah. Well,
you just lost all your South African contingency.
I was like, "You don't sound English at all." And he's like, "Well, that's because I'm not. I'm South African." It's like, what the fuck?
What are you? What are you?
This is not
white people from Africa that talk funny. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But Australia got it right. They got really cool accents. The Brits have it right because their accent is very classic. The South Africans they're like the retarded stepbrothers. They don't care.
They're doing their own thing.
Yeah, they're like, they used to have nukes. You know that? They got rid of them. They voluntarily was like, oh, we don't want nukes anymore.
Allegedly.
So this went from accents to nukes.
Yeah.
Well, it went from Bitcoin.
It's a shit show.
To nuclear weapons. But still, with the Bitcoin, the value, it's only in what people are willing to spend on it. And like Savannah said, there's really no intrinsic value.
But I would say there's no, I mean, what?
There's no intrinsic value to the dollar bill either, except that it's backed by a government, which is backed by an economy, which is backed by capitalism, right, which is backed by a bunch of people, which is the machine.
Yeah. So I think where I might disagree with you is that I would say it's backed by the government. I would stop there. So to say, to go beyond that and say, oh, it's backed by an economy and capitalism, well, I would actually say Bitcoin, if anything, is backed by capitalism. And it's backed by the number of people who accept it, for one thing. But once you have people who are on board, then you get an economy. I mean, the Silk Road is proof of that. And then also now we're seeing more transactions, shops in New York.
I agree with that. I would agree with
that. If people have faith in it and they're willing to take it, then it'll work.
Right,
Uh-huh. And the only way it'll crash is if some people say, no, I'm not going to say it. But who's going to say that? If you have them and commerce starts to work with it. I mean, I think it's a great – well, I don't know if it's great. I guess when it comes down to it, it's potentially great. Yeah, it's kind of a cool – it's a cool idea.
I think it's yet to be determined whether or not it's really great. I mean, if we all – I wonder what would happen to the American – our government or our economy if everyone with a dollar bill decided to buy bitcoins with it and there were no more dollar bills around. You don't tax bitcoins.
Well, you would tax a transaction. But how would you know about the transaction? Yeah, everything would be under the table.
So
basically,
your dollar buys my bottle of water, and then I tax you on that mm-hmm. dollar. But then now I have that dollar, and I turn around and I buy Savannah's denim jacket, and it's taxed again. Mm-hmm. So there's like a cyclical process, right?
I mean,
the dollar just keeps going around and it just gets taxed.
Right.
With Bitcoin, you tax it. If you were to tax a transaction from the dollar to the Bitcoin, that's a one-time transaction. Now you have Bitcoins and you're just buying stuff with Bitcoins. It's never taxed again.
Unless you...
It would fall apart. Our government would...
Unless you reported it. So if you were like, I made 50,000 Bitcoin
How would you report it? How does it report it?
You would do some sort of like conversion. You would be like, I made 50,000 Bitcoin, which is equal to $300,000 in sales.
You wouldn't get a W, what is that? W-2. I almost said W-4, and that's not right.
Yeah, W-2. But if I went outside my backyard and pulled up a giant diamond worth $100 million, mm-hmm. wouldn't I be taxed on that?
Yeah.
Only if... You depending on how you and where you sold it.
Oh, actually, that's a really good point because you already own your property.
Yeah,
yeah. And if you didn't do it if you didn't sell it to any, I mean, I guess if he took it to South Africa and sold it, maybe not.
No, I would never sell it to them. Those bastards with fake accents. No, just kidding.
Well, I mean, I guess I don't know. It's weird. I don't know.
Well, do they if you take a diamond to a pawn shop? Is that taxed? I don't know.
It's taxed.
They give you
when
money
sell
for
it.
Sure.
It's
yeah,
taxed
but then
when they sell it to somebody else. It's not taxed when you give
so
it to
they
them.
Get taxed, but do you?
No.
So if then you wouldn't have to pay taxes on the
if
diamond.
You sell it, you would. If I sell it and make $50,000 on it.
Oh, there's a limit. Yeah, if there's a limit. It's kind of like gambling. You can win so much, and then there's a threshold. And once you make more than that, I can't remember what it is. Yeah. But then you're taxed on those winnings. But anything less than that, and I think it's the same way when you're selling stuff to like a...
Yeah, I wonder, now that you say that, I guarantee you there's a way that the IRS can tax your Bitcoin. I guarantee you they have a way to do it. It's just not mainstream yet, so I don't think it's really that big of an issue.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, if I go out and I sell you a boat for, you know, 10,000 Bitcoin, which is probably worth $600,000.
Yeah, but there's a title that you're turning over, and then that title is generally, I mean, that's where you show, you write on there, like, how much money...
Right.
You've like when you look at your little motorcycle.
Yeah.
Was there a title with it?
No.
Okay. Well, if you generally when you sell stuff like a car, there's a title, you hand over the title, and in that title you write how much money it was because they get taxed on it.
Right.
The tax tag and title for the new guy. So with a boat, if you were to sell me a boat for Bitcoin, you'd still have to write on that title how much
Bitcoin, yeah.
Yeah, right. But,
so, I mean, they must
but
be
for something like that, yeah, but if you were to sell me...
Tax the dollar...
Your that. Something...
That curtains.
Curtains that didn't require a title mm-hmm. or any way to track it. I mean, I could probably buy everything in your house for Bitcoin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's no way to... The government would never know that. Or if you were a shopkeeper, let's say I was running my bar and you showed up and you're like, I want to buy all your whiskey. And like, but I'm going to use Bitcoin. I'd be like, oh, shit. Well, here's all the whiskey. I'm not going to tell the government. Like, they would have no way to know that.
But you could do that with anything, right? You could do that with the dollar bill.
I suppose you could.
It's just under the table.
Yeah, it would be under the table. Tough.
Yeah.
I guess Bitcoin would make it easier, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Roger thinks so.
I think it would make it easier. But I think it depends on how you got your Bitcoins to begin with. I think if you got your Bitcoins from, I don't know, mining them or I don't really know. But I think depending on the way you got them, it can be less
That's weird. Yeah, I don't know.
Trackable by the U.S. government.
Where do you think it's going to go? Do you think it's going to become popular? Do you think we're going to be doing lots of...
It'd be one world money.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I get really nervous about one world anything.
I do too, man. Look what's happening with the euro.
Oof.
I mean, that's just my little piece of the pie. But if all of us had one money,
well, there's a lot of different cryptocurrencies, and people who are into Bitcoin probably own. I haven't talked to all of them and asked them what they own, but the ones I ask own multiple different types. I mean,
oh, really?
There's some front runners. I think there's one called Litecoin. There's one called Ethereum. There's another one that's coming out in the future. It's called Zcash.
The future.
This summer. I think it's called Zcash or Zero Cash or Zero Knowledge Cash. And it's supposed to be super, I guess, covert. So you really can't get tracked with that one. So, I mean, there's going to be multiple currencies. But, I mean, when you think about what happened with the euro, one might say that that has less to do with the fact that they were using one currency, more to do with the governments that were backing it.
Yeah, that's true. Greece completely fell apart. But what if we all go to some sort of Bitcoin currency?
Or any kind of cryptocurrency?
Or any kind of cryptocurrency. The value would have to be different for each country, right?
Not necessarily. I'm not sure that's – you would just – so what you would sell might change. So let's say my denim jacket, I would sell it for 0.1 Bitcoin in Greece. But in the U.S., I would sell it for 1 Bitcoin.
It's
– if there was one world currency and it was cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. we got rid of all government backing money. Man, what's the point I'm trying to make here?
It would be like a convoluted map to how much it's worth. So one Bitcoin in the U.S. is worth $600.
Who would control the...
In Zimbabwe, it's probably worth $100,000.
Right now, our government controls inflation. Or at least they try to. And they control interest rates. At least they try to. The Fed does. Now, if you get rid of all money and it's all cryptocurrency, who then would control that? Who then would control interest rates? And inflation.
Well, do interest rates need to be controlled? I think that's sort of a...
Well, the Fed, that's the Fed's purpose in life is the control.
Did we need a Fed?
I'm not the expert, but I thought probably.
There's thoughts out there. No.
Otherwise,
did you know the Fed isn't not government?
No, it's not. It's an outside agency. That's that way it's like a check and balance type of thing. But if you weren't controlling it, then you'd have independent operators, like a bunch of different little banks controlling their own interest rates, and things could get just wildly out of control.
Well, would they have to – what's an interest rate? I mean, why would somebody control an interest rate?
Well, because if I'm going to loan you money to do something that you want to do, mm-hmm. I should get some sort of return
on
that, right? But if I was to loan you money and I'm like, it's 20% interest, and you're like, man, that's not fair. Like, it should
then
be
I would
like,
go to the next purveyor
of loans.
And the
next guy's like – 17%, and the next guy's like 21% or something. But who's to say that the banking guys don't get together and they're like, "Hey, man, we're going to keep it above 15."
No one's to say that. Yeah, I mean, I guess that could happen.
It turned into like a mob gangster type thing where the banks would run business, and it's kind of like if only crypto guys cryptocurrency was there, then it's only the keepers of the algorithm are like, you know what? Here's what we're going to do, and we're going to.
We're all keepers of the algorithm, but.
I mean,
I do. I do
so
agree.
We think so, unless it's a big facade, and they're like, we're going to.
That's
we'll
an interesting point.
We'll unveil the truth of the Bitcoin once, because you don't know. Like, no one knows. It's a freaking algorithm.
Some people know, and I just trust
them.
Yeah,
the keepers of the algorithm, they know, and that's scary. There's only a few people that actually know how that thing works.
I'm not scared. I'm not scared about that. Although I guess I don't really know how to argue against your point that perhaps all loan purveyors could just set an interest rate.
Well, that's what used I don't know to that happen. That's why the government created the Fed was because things were kind of getting things had a potential to get out of control. I think it happened after the Depression. It was to control it. It was to help control it so things wouldn't get out of control.
I don't know. I checked out like 5 minutes ago.
It's your podcast,
yeah,
man.
That's right.
Hey, all right. Let's change the subject. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Book of the future. What's going on in the future? What's cool right now? Have you seen... I asked you a question. I jumped on answer. Side note, I haven't shaved since... remember our interview with Garrison? And he's like... Where's your beard? You said you had a beard. And I was,
that's right.
I felt
he
bad.
You out.
I missed it. I missed it so much. So it was like the end of February, I stopped shaving. Good I still clean you, up man. The sides and stuff, but it's probably the longest I've ever had it, which isn't. I mean,
let it go, man. Just
yeah, I'm really.
I'm just going to keep going.
I love it.
I get it trimmed, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't just get. I don't look homeless, but I like to keep it going.
I try to go with that homeless look. People don't bother me when I'm like that. I walk in, I'm like, so, Mr. Smith, you have pneumonia. And they're like, what the? Who are you?
Who are you?
Do you need change? No, I'm fine. So, but no, anything cool going on?
In the future?
Yeah, anything. Bitcoin? I know they just did a, no, we're just going on future talk right now.
Oh.
You're a futurist. They just did a big thing with the Hyperloop. That was just in the news, right?
Damn, I haven't been tracking that.
Oh, okay. So, what have you been tracking? What's on your radar right now?
My radar is all about stem cell technology.
Yeah.
So, there was recently a couple articles, one of them coming out of Australia, where they literally just did this with mice and some human cell lines. So, mm-hmm. they treated, in the mice, I think they treated fat cells and bone cells.
Okay.
And they just treated them with a drug called azacitidine. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's kind of used for leukemia. They treated it with azacitidine and then they gave it something called platelet-derived growth factor, which who cares? But that's what they treated those cells with for maybe a period of, I don't know, 4 to 21 days, something like that. And the cells transformed into mesenchymal stem cells, which no one's been able to do. So... I'm excited about where that's going to go. So literally, you can take those cells, and in the article, they talked about injecting them maybe into spinal cord, whatever, maybe to regenerate the spine or something like that. But I'm shallow, and so I'm thinking, oh, I wonder if I can inject this in my face.
But it's, I think it's, have you noticed how quickly things are happening now?
Yes.
Yeah, we're hitting that point. Like 10 years ago, it's not that long, 2006, they got all the stuff we didn't have in 2006, right? It's only been 10 years. We didn't have video phones. I mean, we did, but not the way they are right now. That's I mean, I just clicked a button and freaking broadcast to the world off of something that weighs like, what, a tenth of a pound, this tiny little piece of plastic.
Seriously. Nobody's listening, but shit.
Yeah, no one's listening. But isn't that amazing, though? And now you're looking at like the technologies... on a yearly basis. It's like, holy shit. It's like every time I look on the news, I'm like, holy shit. They're doing some crazy stuff.
It's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. AI is making huge leaps and bounds.
It's a little scary.
Yeah, it is a little scary. I'm kind of frightened about AI.
I heard someone give a speech the other day about how really the people who are all positive about it are stupid and the people who are all negative about it are also stupid. Like it really, and it made so much sense to me. I'm like, you're right. This isn't like a black or white issue.
Yeah.
There's probably gonna be some good AI and some bad AI.
Well, remember how, I think we talked about this once before AI. I always talk about it. Cause it's freaking, I think, but it's like announcing to an alien race, welcome to Earth. Have at it, you know, like no rules, just here it is. And that's what AI is. It's an alien race. It's an alien intelligence. It's an intelligence that wasn't born here. We just created it out of nothing, and it's going to be smarter than us.
And it also has no emotional intelligence.
So squat. That's the whole thing. So you wake up in a cage. It's guarded by mice.
It doesn't feel bad for killing you.
Yeah, it doesn't give a shit. It doesn't understand that.
We're erasing people.
Yeah, because that's how that's how a computer fixes itself, right? It's just like, let's delete this and rewrite this.
Yeah. There's no emotions involved.
That's scary shit. See,
no
I don't
compassion.
See.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's just it's unfounded. But when you got Stephen Hawking, I always get it wrong. When you have Stephen Hawking, I was going to do a fake interview with him. I found a Stephen Hawking emulator, and I was going to ask him questions, and he was going to be like, I don't know. I was going to have fun with that, but I didn't do it. But we have him and Elon Musk. They're all saying, like, I don't really trust this whole AI thing. I tend to listen.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're right to be cautious.
I think
they're
scared.
Also think it's inevitable. I mean, if we were to say no, put some sort of moratorium on any kind of forward movement in AI.
It'd be dumb because someone's going to do it.
Stop.
And what you don't want to be is the guy who actually built it in your basement and now you have the AI.
I would like that. I would have control over the AI.
Have you guys seen the movie Ex Machina?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Ex Machiato.
Machina? No,
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. I used to say Ex Machina, and then now I got made fun of that. Now I'm saying Ex Machina, and I'm getting made fun of that.
It sounds like a coffee drink.
I can never do it right. Anyways, it's a pretty cool movie. It's about AI.
I'll have a Grande Machina.
Terrible. And then on another note, we're talking about robots, not intelligence. Have you seen the YouTube, this girl from Sweden? She's considered the queen of shitty robots.
No.
Oh, man. Google the queen of shitty robots.
Is it fantastic stuff?
It's the funniest thing.
Is that the one with the one that squirts the ketchup and the mustard on the hot dog? Have you seen that one?
Probably.
It's hysterical.
I can't remember her name, but she would build robots for fun, and she would try to get them to do, like, everyday tasks, and then she realized she had more fun building robots that did over-the-top ridiculous things, so they'd... There's one that was supposed to make her cereal, and it was like throwing the milk in the cereal. It was putting it in a bowl, but it was like tossing it everywhere.
That's hysterical. I have to see this.
Yeah, it made me laugh so hard, man. Look up the queen of shitty robots.
Nice. All right.
Anyways, sorry.
I'm gonna check
that out.
Sorry
to screw your conversation up again.
It's all right. This is a weird podcast.
Yeah, right.
But at least we.
I've been drinking outside. What's going on? It is a nice night.
I'll put something together. This will sound decent once I'm done. We haven't done one of these though in a while, not since the question and answer one that we had that time.
I like these ones, man. I think I have fun with this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I'm trying to prod and get a deep conversation going in here. it's not working. I'm kidding. What? That's all I can think of. What do you got? Bring something up.
So where are we going in the future? I'll try to bring something up in a second.
Okay.
I'm going to have myself another drink.
So I think, I mean, we at some point, as we were kind of getting to this age, we all realize that, oh, it's a lot more efficient when we join a corporation and we all work together, kind of. And then, you know, that worked well for a while. And then at some point, I think, and I would imagine this seems to be happening more and more, people kind of started, actually, I think probably from the very beginning, people realized, I wish that I had more autonomy. People don't really like working for a corporation. You work better when you're able to kind of synergize with people. But people don't like it.
Depending on what your job is and how you value it. I think you would like it if you were a VP making six figures.
Right.
And just enjoying
sometimes. But I would even venture to... I would go so far as to say so many people I talk to, almost all of them are like, I'm not really doing what I want to do.
Yeah, so you're saying in general as humans, we like to have ownership on the tasks that we perform, and working in a corporation seems like you're a nameless cog in a machine that's sitting at a desk and not doing what humans are meant to do. 50,000 years ago, humans weren't sitting at desks. They were hunting on the plains. They were trying to figure out stone tools and things like that. So, mm-hmm. yeah, is that what you're getting at? Or?
And I'm not so saying that they were all that happy then either. I mean, obviously, the quality of life has increased significantly.
Yeah,
could be that we just enjoy being, going back to what you said, Kevin, I don't know if it was about hunting with sticks and stones. I think it's more about challenging. And that's when people are really happy, when they feel challenged. And what happens is, I think we go through school, we go through college, and then if you don't, you just join the workforce and you find yourself in a job and you're pretty good at it, and you make a living, and you find yourself in a rut, and it's like, well, it's just easier to sit in this rut and get paid on the 1st and 15th or whatever it is and make a living than it is to actually try to do something yeah. that and take some risk and be something. And I think that's where they just don't, they feel underwhelmed or not, whatever. It's because there's
satisfied.
There's job satisfaction or life satisfaction because there's no challenge anymore. And you're not really learning anything. And you're not really out there taking risks. But then at the same time, we're so risk adverse. You know, most people aren't just going
to
leave
a
good paying job with salary and benefits to start something brand new and to challenge themselves and have some level of satisfaction.
Perhaps. Do you know what's really good? And I don't want to sound like I'm, what's that, blowing my own horn, but my friggin' job is awesome. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to work. Like, I made my office, I was sitting at my office about a month ago, and I was like, it's just cold. It's not, I spend a lot of time here every week, and it's not comfy. So I was like, how would I do this if it was in my house? So I just made it like an extra room in my house that's 12 miles that way. And now I go to my, you know, it's like I'm going to a different part of my house. I don't work per se. I go and I talk to people and try to fix them. And it's just, I feel so lucky because I just go and talk with people and fix them.
I think you're one of the rare breed then that actually really enjoys their job.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And then I come home and I do this podcast. I love the podcast. I don't work. That's how I look at it. Like, sometimes I don't want to wake up because I do have to be there a certain time, but that's more laziness. I just want to sleep. I love to sleep. But I don't work. I go and I, you know, yeah, sometimes I get bored if someone comes in with sniffles. I'm going to smack them on the side of the head and be like, come to an oncology ward with me. You want to see people suffering? You're here with the sniffles. But for the most part, yeah, it's like I just go to this, I have to do it off site, you know, not at home, but. Yeah, I feel really lucky that is.
Yeah, I think you're one of the lucky ones. I don't think that's very common. I think most. I look at a lot of my buddies, for instance. We're all company grade officers in the Marine Corps, which means we're captains when we got out, and a lot of them go on to do some sort of mid level management position. They just get a mid level management job at any random company, and that's it. And they got a pretty decent salary, and they're just working to live and then one day die. So it's very, very rare that people actually enjoy. I think you are one of the rare ones.
Both of you, I think, are enjoying your lives. I'm kind of enjoying mine. But a lot of us...
That's kind of a big thing. You're kind of?
I mean, sometimes...
It'd be worse, I guess. I mean,
so job is good, but I feel like I can do so much more than what I'm doing in my job. Like, I think that my brain was meant to think a lot more deeply. And actually, I was just listening to a podcast where this guy was talking about how we really are getting to the point where we're conditioning ourselves not to really think very deeply about problems. And I see that every day at my job. But aside from that, so because we're not thinking deeply, we're getting to the point where it's easier and easier for AI to take on a lot of these tasks that we do. We think that we're so special because we can understand what somebody has written to us in an email and we can write back. But there are many projections coming out saying that a lot of jobs, like something like 70% of jobs, are going to be taken over by AI in the next few years.
Oh, definitely, especially the $15 an hour burger flippers.
Happens to those people?
What do you mean, what happens?
It's a larger problem than there is now, then.
They go unemployed, and guess what?
Which is a larger problem than there is now.
Yeah, so...
So I think I have a solution.
Unskilled labor?
So this is... Okay, so you're getting to a solution all this.
Oh.
My theory is that if you can automate all these jobs... I say automate. Somebody told me I should use the word make efficient.
Is this somebody...
She's like, people don't like the word automate, Savannah. I was like, oh, shit, you're right.
Jesus.
But if you can get a computer to do this job that a human used to do for $15 an hour, mm-hmm. and then who knows how much overhead, that's a $15 an hour job is really a $30 an hour job when you can count the overhead. If you can get a computer to do that automatically, you have all those jobs. You think, oh, it's terrible. All those jobs are gone. But think of all the services that all of a sudden the cost of those services dwindle dramatically.
So you don't have to work because everything's going to be free.
Exactly. Like
communist utopia.
Yeah, kind of. But then, I mean, at some point, we're all going to kind of be go back to working for ourselves.
You know, the
I
one understand thing that will never at. Be free, though. Is health
freedom
healthcare?
Sorry,
that's
so you're now you have a bunch of people that still need healthcare.
But what if it's automated? I mean, I'm sorry, made efficient. What if there's an AI that does it and it can just do its thing? Like, you know what I mean? You're sick.
That means we're going to automate. That means we're going to make efficient your job.
Yeah, it sucks.
You're going to be overtaken by a robot.
Except entertainment. You cannot make this shit up that I'm doing right here. This takes...
We'll find ways. We'll find other things to do with ourselves.
There's a South Park episode where there's a robot that was programmed to tell jokes, and it was like it was terrible. Yeah. And the kids got to like take him over. Anyways, you just made me think of that when you said entertainment.
How's this? Like, am I getting the curly?
Yeah, it's looking good.
Nice. I'm going to start
Hello.
With my...
He's a Dapper Dan, man.
Hello. Hello. I challenge you to a duel. For the listeners, I'm making curly cues on the corner of my mustache. Edit this out at 1 hour and 60 minutes. You made me think of something that I lost track of it. Automation. Have you seen Humans?
No.
I just started watching it. I watched it last night. It's pretty interesting. I mean, it's all AI robot stuff, but yeah. So you know what? You are no longer the most vain person on the show.
Who's vainer?
I am now doing cosmetic reconstruction.
You're kidding me. Your teeth?
Yeah, you probably didn't even notice, did you?
Oh, the Invisalign?
I have Invisalign.
What does that do?
You put these little trays in mm-hmm. every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And my bottom teeth, they were never bad, but they were bothering me because they're starting to overlap like this. So thanks for listening to the Wait What If podcast. I don't know. Do you have anything to plug?
Oh, yeah. So the Triangle Futurists is my meetup group. I know I mentioned it a long time ago, but yeah. Go to meetup.com and you can find the Triangle Futurists and join up.
Start working on your blog. I'm telling you, it's for those idle nights, just sitting down and hammering out like... It doesn't take much, and then you get the shitty thing is you got to go over it and over it. But I mean, that's actually kind of fun, and then you kind of learn about writing, and you learn about yourself, and you learn about like should I do this and how to properly annotate if you're gonna reference something and whatever. But I don't know, it's fun. It's I have like 10 articles that I gotta publish them. I've done two already. I have an ayahuasca one that I want to do, and I'm almost done with it. But it's. You know, it's whatever.
You're basically doing what I wish I would do with myself.
Just do
now
it.
Now I feel guilty. Like, he has the perfect job. He does a podcast, which I've been dreaming about doing for years.
Soon I'll have the most perfect teeth. How's your podcast coming?
It's I don't know if I'm ever going to do a podcast.
Let's just do it.
Why not?
Come. Well, we'll
look how easy this is. Yeah. Like $150 in equipment, and then
the shitty thing is editing. I got to tell you, this is going to be a nightmare to edit.
Oh, editing, but really, it's terrible. Just publishing is the thing. It's a step I don't want to figure out how to do.
It's not hard at all.
Yeah, you just click.
It's
publish.
Almost retarded how easy it is.
Yeah, you set up an RSS.
Or automated.
What are you calling me?
I'm sorry. I was not insinuating anything, I promise.
Yeah, I should.
Kevin already
do it.
Said you had Asperger's or whatever. So.
Asperger's, yeah.
True.
Why am I the jerk? I never said that.
So, Mike, here's your plug.
I don't have anything to plug.
Facebook.com/
Revival 1869.
Yeah, I mean, the bar's coming along. It's pretty excited about that. We did something pretty freaking cool. I was invited to help. A local distiller by the name of Jeremy Norris and Broad Slab Distillery. There's a few of us that got invited down to his distillery to take his moonshine reserve, and he makes two rums, a silver and a spiced, and make some cocktails for him.
And yeah, that's cool.
To build his menu for marketing purposes. So that was pretty freaking legitimate. I got to go down there, and he liked quite a few of them. I think I got about 50%. Me and the other guy, we kind of a 50-50 split on his menu that he's going to be pushing for marketing and that sort of stuff for his moonshine. So it's pretty cool.
And are you going to have your name name attached to it at all?
Yeah, probably not. But it's just one of those cool things. It's kind of on the road. If, I don't know, if earlier in the show I was talking about trying to build credibility. It's one of those things where it's a small, it's a little thing, but I think, you know, you slowly start stacking those things up, and then next thing you know, I don't actually have to run the bar. I can get paid to consult other people to run their bars, and then you get paid for your knowledge.
You'll be like, what was that show? There's a TV show where the guy goes into a shitty bar.
Yeah, John Taffer and Bar Rescue.
British guy, right?
There's a lot of those. Dude. There's a lot of guys that do that sort of work. It's just consulting like any other kind of field, you know, and that's kind of the goal, is where I can just bounce around the country and get paid to tell people what to do.
Can I show up with my video equipment and film it and then put it on Discovery?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, but I'm not an asshole, so I'm not going, it may not be as entertaining.
You know what? I don't think an asshole has ever personally admitted they're an asshole.
Probably.
So you might
not
be. You never know.
Am I? I don't know. You guys know. You're not an asshole. Now you've seen me on a podcast a couple times.
We should do a live podcast from your bar.
That's what we were going to do, right?
Come on, man.
On my birthday?
I mean, if you're still interested.
Damn it, I thought it was my idea.
Oh.
It can also be your. You can do yours as well.
My 40th birthday. I'm going to try to do a.
I mean, we won't be
extravaganza. I want someone singing. I want a guitar player.
It really. It's going to depend on a lot of things. But we could. I think there's potential to make that work.
I want midgets.
Well,
on fire.
It's going to depend on a lot of things. But yeah, you're happy to come down and do that. I mean, we probably won't be open until the fall.
My birthday's in December.
October, November, December. So we'll be a couple months in. Might work.
I want kegs being thrown out of the roof. I want to see. I want it just to burn. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Thank you for listening. That's it.
Like us on facebook.com/WWIPodcast and at WWIPodcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitswhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.